Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
All right, so we have Rebecca Saunders on the line. Hello, Rebecca.
Sanders.
Okay,
it happens a lot.
All right, so I'll just introduce you. Rebecca is Sanders is a historian who is actually going to be doing a walking tour at 11 a.m. at the State Library. That's correct?
That is correct, yes.
Yeah, your walking tour is about this sort of movement to win public toilets for women because... back in, I'd imagine, the early 20th century. Tell us about this history.
So men had public urinals in Melbourne from 1859, but women didn't really have access to street toilets, basically, as we'd think of them today, until 1902. So there were toilets at the Eastern Market and also at sort of the viaduct and Princess Bridge and in some of the shops. But that was really it. So, you know, there weren't very many places to go in town, which made it very difficult for women to spend large amounts of time there. So it's really about sort of being able to use public space and go out into public. Mm. But they also had quite strong views about how the toilet should be constructed, where they should be constructed, how they should be run. So a lot of the... people associated with the women's suffrage movement ended up getting involved in, petitioning council to inspect city lavatories, for example. They were very worried about female lavatory attendants in women's loos and their pay and also their conditions. So it's a really kind of important step that we don't think about very much, but it's a very long time to hold on for public toilets, really.
40 years.
That's the title of the walk.
Mm. And so what were kind of like, because interesting enough, this sort of time period sort of predates kind of like the advent of kind of like the nuclear family in the 1940s. And interesting knowing, you know, what were the kind of sexist kind of attitudes that kind of justified this denial of building public female toilets?
I mean, I guess it had always been that way. I mean, you know, the women's sphere was definitely in the home. It wasn't in public. So women weren't really expected to go out in public much. I mean, it's really only from the 18th century that they start, you know, do a lot of the shopping at markets. But then they're expected to go straight home afterwards. So they don't really have a social life outside of the home unless they're going to other women's homes. And that's usually friends and family. You know, they're not sort of, you know, spending time in department stores and all that kind of thing. That's really something you start seeing, I guess, around, you know, the 1890s onwards, really, with the building of the arcades and you know, kind of doing the block. You know, women, fashionable women would sort of walk up and down Collins Street and through the block arcade. But that was really the only space that they were expected to be seen if they were genteel. And if they weren't, you know, they might end up on Bourke Street for some reason or another, but they probably try to spend very little time there.
Hmm. Do you have a question, Bronte?
Yeah, I was just thinking with working class women who would have been, you know, working and doing, like, there would have been, I think, a little bit of public toilet access. Like, it's interesting that there was public toilet access in the shops and so, in groceries, yeah. But not, you know, if a woman's going out and about and running errands or, you know, just... you know, wanting to go out for longer, there isn't. So it's funny how it's constricted to work only and yes. To the home. So women are meant to work and then go home, and that's quite funny. Yeah.
So it's a very different era. So that you know, it's a bit like, you know, when you talk about the French Revolution and they're asking for the freedom of association to meet in public places. Well, the same kind of thing is going on for women, you know, in the 1890s. It's not that they can't do it, that it's illegal, but there's all these social constrictions and none of the infrastructure is set up to enable them to do this. Mm. So it's very difficult for them to spend large periods of time in public spaces.
Yeah. And, Oh, yeah.
As you go, sorry.
Yeah, I had a... my next question was, you know, so clearly this campaign for female public toilets was one, and can you tell... Do you have, like, any more kind of details about this campaign and how it is won?
The Women's Political and Social Crusade sent a petition to the Melbourne City Council in the 1890s, and there was also a bit of letter writing that went on by women agitating for women's public toilets. And then the... what's the name of the association? Sorry. There's another association, the Women's Political Association, looked into the running of these facilities in the early 1900s. But it's really interesting. I mean, you know, you sort of have two toilets turn up sort of, I guess, in the first decade of the 20th century. But then there's another wait for more street toilets. So it's not that, you know, they suddenly started popping up everywhere. You know, it's very much a gradual thing. And for them, you know, it was very important that they were underground. They were very concerned with maintaining their privacy. And in fact, they, you know, sort of put forward requests, you know, is it possible to make it illegal for men to loiter around these toilets? You know, women often pass them by instead of going in because, you know, their privacy is you know, being destroyed by these men being there. So it's a really, really different time. And they're very concerned, you know, not just with the women who are using the toilets, but also with the lavatory attendants who are there. You know, they don't want them to stay out late, which is really interesting because if you can't stay out late, you know, then that means, you know, other women can't stay out late if there's no female lavatory attendants in the loo. So it's really interesting.
Actually, this is a bit weird question, but who are lavatory attendants? Did they have in that time? Did they have like people hang around the toilets, like as attendants or something?
Yes, absolutely. So they kept the toilets clean, and they also took the money. So you had to pay to use these loos.
Oh,
still quite common in Europe. I visited there recently, and I was kind of shocked to have to hand over money every time you want to go to the toilet.
That sounds like something that would discriminately kind of like, you know, penalise poor people if they're unable to afford the toilet.
So the campaign, it's, you know, not they didn't win it. They had, you know, two, as you were saying, it was slowly growing. But it seemed, you know, it's a kind of thing that would only be really access to rich people. You know, a poorer person wouldn't have been able to access those toilets. And the way you're talking about it, were the rates of sexual assault quite high with these toilets?
I'm not sure. I mean, women have a tendency to underreport this sort of thing. What you do find is stories of women who had given birth in toilets, so they were desperate for some private space out of wedlock, and were having to give birth there because it was as safe as it could get. These were really liminal zones; they weren't seen as you know, I mean, I guess today, you know, we actually still, you know, if you ask most women, would you use a public toilet or go into a department store or a shopping centre, they'd probably still choose the shopping centre. It's remarkable how little has changed. But, you know, for women who were in trouble and had nowhere else to go, these things were happening. There are newspaper reports that you hear about. And if you go through the National Library's Trove, search, which is fantastic. You can find out some more information on this sort of thing just by doing a search on it.
So I guess we're going sort of low on time now. Sorry for interviewing you late because we had some technical issues, but I guess question is to sort of end briefly on describing the walking tour for tomorrow, like, you know, get for listeners to maybe get intrigued by by going to it, or possibly...
Yeah, so the walking tour for tomorrow is, I think it's nearly sold out. There's two tickets left when I looked. I'll probably run another one. So you can go to my website over the next couple of days, which is historycreative.wordpress.com. Or you can just look me up on Twitter or Facebook. It's ERS History. The other thing that you can do is I'm actually going to be down at an exhibition that's also happening as part of the Fringe Festival tonight. It's the 1C1 art exhibition happening at the Princes Hill Community Centre. So if you haven't managed to book a ticket and you'd like to talk to me more about this, come on down. It's on from 6 till 10.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, thank you very much for doing the interview with us. And maybe those the listeners will take up those last two tickets.
It's been very popular.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's great.
All right. Thanks heaps, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye.